What's one thing that we all have in common? One thing that brings us together? One thing that we can't live without? The answer is food. Now sit back and discover local restaurants, meet interesting people, learn new food facts, and explore delicious recipes. This is the Love KC Food Show.
Good afternoon, Kansas City. This is Drew and Brian, and we are your hosts. It is an honor to host this show every week, the Love KC Food Show. We get to have the best people on, and this week is no exception. We have amazing things happening in the world of coffee, don't we, Brian?
Yeah, every week we bring a new subject, in the light of food, drink, whatever, in Kansas City. And this week we're going to focus on some coffee, which is one thing you know a little bit about.
A little bit, yes. I was able and honored to be a part owner with the fabulous Vincent Rodriguez, who's still there at Maps Coffee and Chocolate. Shout out to Maps. Was an awesome experience. I love that. There is a lot of work in coffee, and I have a deep respect for anyone, and we have some amazing guests on today that are still really doing it in coffee. It's a tough business.
Well, there's a lot of history.
Tons. Oh, my goodness. Folgers, right? A
lot of history in Kansas City.
Who else? I know there was more. Parisi is...
Roastery.
Roastery.
But when you go back to Folgers...
Oh, yeah, that's...
You know, the company opened in San Francisco in 1850.
Okay.
In 1908, they opened their first roasting plant here in Kansas City.
You remember that smell?
1908.
Man, it smelled so good.
I remember in the 70s going downtown, and you would smell that
so
smell.
Much
yeah.
Coffee was being roasted.
Lasted for over 100 years.
Uh-huh.
Over 100 years, and yep. Then closed in 2012.
Now it's a loft.
Yes.
You can live there. I wonder if the walls still smell like
But they did that in Kansas City for a strategic move.
Right, shipping...
Right on the railway.
Yeah, you bet.
Right there. So they could get the coffee, and it was perfect to get it out to anybody mm-hmm. else in the Midwest
you know,
and
it's still,
in the East.
It's still true today. The Caves are a huge distributor for coffee beans.
The Caves?
The Caves. Because the temperature control and all the rest. Mm-hmm. And we would drive down all the time and pick them up. And so many people ship out of the Caves for I'm talking about the green coffee.
Yeah, so you're going to have to explain that further, but we'll get
sure.
into that.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll
absolutely.
Get into that. But yes, when you're talking green beans, or that's the raw beans
right.
versus...
Well, roasted beans.
Oh, is that the roasted
beans? Green is raw, you're right. But then the roasted beans would be
the roasted
versus.
Beans. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of different ways to roast, right?
Oh, my God. And a lot of different varietals of bean. And there's a lot that goes into coffee. It's not just... A coffee.
Depends on what region
oh, yeah.
you go to get your coffee.
Unbelievable.
How you're going to blend it.
Right.
How you're going to, I mean, it's a very difficult process. What did we have a couple of weeks ago, or is that last week? We had the brewmasters
yeah,
on.
Yeah, last week.
Last week. Now, that's a difficult process, too.
And coffee's it's just as complicated.
That's right. And
you wouldn't think so. You wouldn't. If you don't know,
no,
you don't know. But
you would
those
never
that know,
think.
They know. And
yeah.
And we've got guests that know. You know, I think about experts, I think about amazing people, and I find these people really through referrals. Don't you, Brian?
Word of mouth referrals are the best way to go.
And when I don't, you know, like, I just don't know enough people. And so I would love a site that's local, like a friend, that I could refer to. Do you have any ideas, Brian?
Yes. So if you, the KC Referral Network, if you go to findandrefer.com, find and refer, you can find a company. Just click find a company on the homepage or refer a company. It's all free to you. There's no signups required, and there is no cookies or tracking data or any of that nonsense. So if you're looking for a good company with a word-of-mouth referral that person would refer to a friend or family member, just go to findandrefer.com.
Findandrefer.com. Can't wait to check it out. All right, well, today we have... one of, you know, Overland Park's originals. When I think of enjoyment and coffee, I think Brewhaha. It's in the name. Is that why you named it? Just the joy that coffee brings, or is there a story behind that?
It kind of came up that way. We pretty much went to what everybody does now when you need something, and you went to the internet.
There you go.
And we got it from a friend, and then we put it up for a vote, and it won.
And it won. Awesome. So, and your name, sir?
My name is Jason Presley. I am the owner of Brouhaha.
Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thank you very much.
Brouhaha Coffee House, mm-hmm. and joined in studio with Jason Presley. And you're on Maston Street in Overland Park?
Yes.
10332?
Exactly. We're just right off 69 Highway. There's the old National American and Security Bank. We're right in that strip mall.
Okay. Now, tell us a little bit about how you decided to get into this kind of business.
Yeah, what's the story?
I mean, it's kind of a competitive business.
It is.
Kind of.
It's, and yes. Especially in Kansas City.
Hello.
Kansas City has...
Oh, man.
Just an
throw
absolute...
Throw a dart at the map, right?
Yeah, it has just an absolute fantastic...
Yeah.
Coffee culture.
It does.
There are so many good, just local mom mm-hmm. and pop independent coffee places here. It was wonderful. But we basically, my wife and I actually never drank coffee until I met her.
There you go.
And it was a cheap date, two college kids.
There
and
you go.
We just got to love the culture, love the environment, love the different just feels that coffee houses had. And we would just frequent those often. And after 20 years of saying, I think we could do this, this is what we do, I finally ask her, are we going to do this or is this just going to be talk?
Uh-huh.
So we put the pedal to the metal and
all right,
got it
now,
done.
Now, she designs, Brian. She's the decor
yeah,
committee,
the decorator. Decor, yeah.
She does all the design work. I saw her in the shop the other day, and she goes, oh, no, I'm responsible for this. And I was like, well, good job. It looks so great.
Oh, she's...
It's
we
so
wouldn't
homey
be
and
half
nice
of
there.
What we are without her. She has made so many little comfortable living room type seating spots and indoor and outdoor patio spaces and just make it warming and welcoming, and which is one of the things that I think makes us unique amongst a lot of other even restaurants in general, is we just want you to come in, feel comfortable, sit down, and enjoy the environment as much as our product.
That's so good. And there's great places to meet. Now, originally, you just had one part of the store, and then you expanded to this whole other section and really made that whole place a really wonderful meeting place.
Yeah. 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 We had a networking group this morning. We have all sorts of different. We have a chiropractors group that meets there. We continually have.
Do they actually
just business
crack
meeting.
The backs there?
They don't. They don't. It's chiropractic philosophy. But
okay, yeah. If we were to crack some backs,
exactly. Hey,
this is
I'm,
what we
I'm
would
down
do.
For it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we really encourage, and that's one of the things that the whole reason we started Brouhaha is. She's a teacher. I'm former IT. I started pouring through books on how to run a coffee shop and how to do this and how to do that. And the one thing that I kept seeing is get them in, get them out, get them in, get them out. Uncomfortable chairs, cold environment,
yeah, right.
Everything, you know, get them in, get their coffee. And we said, no, that's
buck
absolutely.
In the trend.
You know, that's a question that I've always had on coffee shops.
It's on purpose is the answer to your question.
It is?
Yeah. Some coffee shops make it intentionally uncomfortable.
Well, I understand that thinking.
Yeah.
It's like
McDonald's,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
You want to go to
yep.
McDonald's, you're going to be uncomfortable after 20 minutes sitting in that chair.
Right. Initially, okay, it's fine. And then after 20 minutes, you're ready to go.
So they turn those tables about every 15,
yep.
20 minutes. So
well,
they
it's
want
the old free Wi-Fi problem, right?
Well, they want the revenue. So your philosophy is different, opposite of that. Is that
exactly.
working out well?
It is. I read something that people were talking about, even small businesses, that coffee shops allow small businesses to function. They don't need an office. They don't need this. They don't need that. They can go to a coffee shop and, you know, sit there for a couple hours and, you know, hopefully they get hungry and they want to buy something else. But our main thing is not only business, but a place for people to meet. And I think especially after the pandemic, we realized how much we need community, and that's what we try and foster, is bring somebody, sit down, have a face-to-face conversation, mm-hmm. get off the computer, get off Facebook,
yeah,
talk to somebody.
Yeah, and it is a great place to have community.
That was rough, wasn't it, that pandemic thing?
Oh, we survived. We're still here.
Yeah.
We opened. It hit 9 months later.
But there's the wood right there.
I know, right?
Yeah,
yeah, really. So you opened 9 months later it hit.
Yep.
Wow.
We opened July 1st of 2019.
That is tough.
We've had guests that opened during, and in some ways that's easier.
You kind of know what to expect.
Right? But you had to like open twice, you could say.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, we're open. Oh. Okay. Now we know what we're doing.
But you do have a patio.
We do. We didn't quite. We've kind of built it up since then. But the pandemic actually really pushed us to expand much faster than we probably would have.
Okay.
We roast our own beans. We make our own syrup. We purchased a coffee trailer, which in essence, I would say saved us.
Mm-hmm.
So when people weren't going out, when people weren't going into businesses, they were uncomfortable with all that. We could take the coffee trailer to them. A lot of schools, a lot of businesses just wanted to, you know,
what's
honor
a
their
coffee
teachers.
Trailer?
A food truck. Basically,
oh,
it's
a food
it's
truck.
A, it's
now, I've seen the,
ours is an actual trailer that I pull with my truck, but we do all of our
it's big
lattes.
Though, right?
It is.
Our, I guess I didn't realize it was a trailer. It's so big. Mm-hmm. I literally thought it was its own thing.
Yep. Nope.
So what you do with that then is you would pull up out front of businesses
of a school,
or
a business,
schools
yep.
or whatever.
I was actually at an event where Brouhaha was hosting. It was at the ACA Club mm-hmm. in Overland Park, and it was great. I mean, you pull up and it's basically a coffee shop right there.
Yep, it's a full coffee shop on wheels.
Pretty amazing.
Lattes, and, coffee, mm-hmm. cappuccinos, all of it we can do right there in the trailer.
So what makes you unique?
Number one is that non-rushed environment, the outdoor, the living spaces that we have. We really pride ourselves on that. Just our friendly customer service. We have a lot of regulars, and our baristas get to know our regulars. Half the time they're mm-hmm. ringing up their order before they even walk in the door. But we also try and really specialize in stuff ourselves. We make our own, roast our own coffees. We make our own coffee syrups. We got tired of all of the additives, colors, everything, warning
yep.
labels,
yep.
cause hyperactivity in kids, so we just make our own
Now,
like,
explain
syrups.
To the audience, because we try to.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get too technical on this show.
Exactly.
Like,
a little bit.
When I'm talking as a chef with another chef, we kind of go off the rails and it confuses people.
Exactly.
What is a syrup?
So when you go in and order a latte, steamed milk and espresso, a lot of times you can have flavor added to it.
Right.
And that flavor comes in the form of a syrup.
Yeah.
And so we will make our own syrups in-house so that we know exactly what goes into them. We don't put anything else in other than the flavor and the sweeteners that we need, and just make them as
so you have to get like an extract and
correct.
Then make if they want vanilla or
yep.
and then you sweeten it in a certain way or
okay exactly. So and that's we can tailor that. Some people, my wife always likes some half syrup so it's less sweet, my son likes them really sweet, and we can do it. Really allows us to customize the drinks to everybody's individual tastes.
Now they even have an in-house bakery. Brian.
We're talking with Jason Presley from Brouhaha's Coffee Shop in Overland Park, Kansas, 10332 Maston Street. And you have a bakery?
Their own, right there. Which I don't
really?
Know how you squeeze that in.
It's their
good job.
They get it done in the back. They're
good
awesome.
Good job.
They're
well,
awesome.
You did chocolates.
Yeah, well, yeah. It was hard, though. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do that, isn't it?
It is.
The
it's
chocolates
hard.
Took up more space
no.
than anything.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it is hard to do food production. It's one thing to serve, which is hard, too, but still, it's just totally different. I mean, you're cramming ingredients and stuff in a little space.
It's a lot harder because,
you,
you
be
know,
efficient.
A lot of people just throw out the Twinkies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can get frozen stuff.
Yeah,
you know, for your shop, and shops do, and that's not even bad. But you guys are taking it up a notch to have your own bakery in house. How long have you been doing that?
We've been making our own probably for about the past year and a half.
Oh.
Give me some of the items.
We have fantastic scones.
Oh, the scones.
Galettes are amazing.
What's a galette?
It is. It's kind of like a. Like a pie pastry, almost, kind of in a flower cup shape. And then there's, right now we're featuring raspberry and peach mixture in the middle and then baked.
Really?
It's fantastic. We've got
it's in the foo-foo category. It's very dainty and pretty, and it's very nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweetbreads.
Yeah.
On the food side, we actually do crepes as well, and we just started serving sandwiches, and so we've got
We've
got sandwiches in there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Give me a couple of the sandwiches. Yeah. I've got to know.
The crepes and the sandwiches are all named after books or characters or something like that. So the Prince is an Italian pesto tomato grilled sandwich. You throw chicken on there. It's just amazing.
Wow.
We've got chicken salad sandwich.
You know, there's not very many coffee shops that are doing a full-blown lunch level of food.
Yep.
Has it been received very well?
Very much.
I think that's a need. I think people would rather go to lunch at the coffee shop, but they know that there's no lunch options.
Well, and we've had a lot of people come in, and this is kind of where the not kicking them out so fast feeds in. They come in, they get their coffee, they stay there, they don't want to pack up and leave.
Because they've already
camped out. They're
hungry.
Exactly.
Already, yeah.
So they go up and they get a sandwich and another drink.
I love that.
So along with all of this, then you have different services.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned the coffee trailer, right?
Correct.
The food truck.
Very extensive.
And you're going to start adding lunch to that catering?
Exactly. We're going to start firing up since we just ordered the sandwiches. We don't want to get going too fast, but we're going to get it so that you can order ahead of time, and we'll do kind of the box lunch type.
Large groups.
Yep.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, for events. I like that. And then do you rent out your space?
We have, after hours, we will allow our extension, the side that you said that we had just acquired, we'll allow that. And we've done everything from bridal showers, business meetings.
No kidding.
Baby showers, all sorts of things like that.
Can they find out, where can they find out more information about that?
Most everything you can find out by just going to our website, brewhahacoffee.house, and everything is on there.
Brewhahacoffeehouse.com?
No.
Both of them. Actually, they both lead to the same place.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So we're starting to kind of switch over, but yeah, brewhahacoffeehouse.com or brewhahacoffee.house, either one.
How'd you get
a
dot house?
I'm a former IT guy. Oh. I got my connections.
He won't tell us. Okay. He could tell us, but then we'd no longer be on the radio.
Now, you brought in some coffee here. Explain this to me.
So
this is a house roast.
Yes, that is our house roast. It's a Brazilian coffee bean.
I don't know if you at home can smell it, but it smells amazing.
That is hands down, both my wife and I, it's our favorite. It's a medium roast. And it's just fantastic.
Now, it says Brazilian natural medium house
roast.
So are you getting the beans from that region in Brazil?
Yep.
Or is the Brazilian a roasting technique? I don't know.
It is a Brazil bean.
Good question, Brian.
So, yeah, there's, and you had brought up the whole fact that all of the different coffees, where they're grown really matters on their taste. Mm-hmm. I am definitely a more South American lover of coffee than Africans. I don't prefer African coffees as much as I do the South Americans. So it just, the soil it's grown in really affects it. But then also how the green beans even are dried and everything. The natural is, coffee beans are in a cherry. And you can either let them dry in that cherry, you can pull that off, you can wash them. How you do that also will affect the flavor of the bean.
Well, it sounds like you're an expert. Real quick, what are the future things you're getting into?
We're just looking more at catering to taking coffees to businesses so they don't have to buy the Folgers and we will provide the coffee, but then also doing some wholesale things as
Fantastic.
Well.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us, Jason. Brewhaha Coffee House. Check him out. That is brewhahacoffee.house. We'll be back. And we're back at the Love KC Food Show. Brian?
Yes.
Are you glad to be back talking about coffee?
Yes, I am.
Do you like coffee?
I do. Not as much as I used to.
Yeah,
but I was a big coffee drinker, and then they said I can't have caffeine anymore.
Oh, they.
So, yeah.
I don't like they.
It's that group of doctors.
Yeah, they.
Yes.
Sheesh. Well, I can't get enough of the stuff. And today we have another awesome...
There are plenty of decaffeinated brands on the market, though, that taste just as good.
Okay. Says all the non-caffeinated
drinkers. Do they, though?
Yeah. There we go. So in studio today, we've got RevoCup, one of Kansas City's coffee houses. And you guys are really unique. Thank you for joining us. Introduce yourselves real quick.
My name is Hapti Mesfin.
Pull right up to the mic there. How awesome. Sure. Here we go. Correct. We're getting it in the studio. We want to make sure you hear this. Yeah.
My name is Hapti Mesfin. I'm a founder of RevoCup Coffee.
Yeah. Now, I was introduced to you. It was College Avenue
we used to be
and
in college.
Quivira, right?
Correct.
That was that your first?
That was our first location, yeah.
Yeah, I remember
Since
that
then
one.
We expanded it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few more stores in town.
All right.
And I'm Michael Johnson, and I own the shop on 135th in Quivira. Hapti owned the original one on College in Quivira. And, he was kind of mothership. Now, my store's mothership because that one has since closed down, and we moved everything down to my store. So,
okay.
So I'm kind of mothership for all the RevoCups in the area. And
and you guys have really expanded.
Yeah, we've done a few things in the area.
We'll get into that. So, well, awesome. So RevoCup, first of all, the name. Talk to me. What are we doing with the name?
The name is like it is a revolver, and also it is a revolution because of the way we approach coffee. It has two different perspectives. One, we know the farmers, you know where it grows, the culture, and you know the processing method. Also, we are here in the consuming country, so combining those two is in a full circle, but also it's a revolver, connecting the consumer directly to the farmers.
Oh,
that
wow.
is the idea, so we would like to call it a revolver or a revolutionary.
And that's what I liked also. You know, one thing that Hapti told me early on when we were first working together is he would say that it's kind of causing people to rethink coffee in a different way.
Yeah. Why? What do you mean?
Causing us to think about it in a revolutionary way where it's not just about sitting around drinking a cup of coffee, but it's about sitting around drinking a cup of coffee, not in a drive-through, but in a store, but then also making a difference in a third world country. And so a portion of everything that we sell goes to a foundation that supports coffee growers in third world countries. And so not everyone always understands that when you go somewhere, but, you know,
right.
we try to make a point of saying you're making a difference even if you're having your business meeting here.
Right.
And it's a revolution in terms of how you're thinking about coffee. You know, think about it differently. Don't just grab it as a consumable item, but think about it as I'm making a difference at the same time.
Wow, I love that. Because, you know, initially, being introduced to coffee as a young person, you don't really think about how the sausage is made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know
right.
all the details. And coffee business down the chain can get kind of ugly, yes?
Very true. Very
yeah.
true. It is very long, and there is so many players and actors in between.
Right.
So it is just a very extended supply chain.
Now, you come from a country... Right, that's growing a lot of these coffees, yes?
Yes, not only a country producing, probably believed it is the origin of coffee.
Oh,
Ethiopia?
Which is where?
Yes.
Yeah, Ethiopia.
I'm from Ethiopia.
Awesome. And it potentially has the Ark. Anyway, that's a different issue. So you got to see, did you see firsthand as a young person the coffee business, or later did you come to this awareness?
I did not see it as a business, but, you know, I grow into it. You know, I born into it, so I see it from a very beginning.
Okay.
It is around, you know, our life. It's part of our life, not only producing. Also, we have an amazing coffee culture in terms of consumption.
In Ethiopia?
In Ethiopia.
Okay.
The Ethiopian coffee ceremony is so unique. It is not a singular beverage. You don't consume coffee just by yourself.
Right.
Friends and families have to be seated and gathered. You know, we do it every day. Actually, we did not even have a commercial coffee outlet. It is just a family environment. It's just, you know, getting together with people, with friends and guests, and enjoy a cup of coffee.
Now, you've brought that tradition and that love really into the shop today. Because when I sat with you a couple of weeks ago, Mike, you were talking about it's really about the community.
Right. And that's, and I think that's what we've continued to build on. You know, there's two ways of starting a business, you know, for me. One is go as fast as you can. Don't stop. Don't really care about the customer. Continue to make a profit and see what you can do. Another is building a community that we have at our store, and the customers, as they walk through the door, our baristas know who they are. They know their car, actually, as they're pulling up, and we call it, oh, there's Matt. You know, mm-hmm. he's coming in. You know, they already start making his drink, and they come in and they chat, and we start to build a relationship with them. We start to know who they are. We start to understand what they want, you know. And Hopti, early on when I first came on board, you know, with the Revel Cup brand and everything, he had said, people are going to tell you everything. They're going to tell you about their life, you know, their marriage, their babies, their the good, the bad, everything in between. You become that focal point for them. And over the years, you know, 6.5, almost 7 years later of me being at my store, that has come true all the time. We have so many people who come through, and it becomes community that customers start to meet each other and start to talk about what they're doing and starting to engage with each other. And for me, that's what a coffee shop should be, stopping and having an engagement.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a church.
It doesn't it feel? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
That's probably why churches have coffee shops in them now.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people will be surprised, but coffee grows on a tree.
Yes, it is true.
A lot of people, I swear, a lot of people are surprised at that.
Yeah.
They think it's just a bush.
It's not a large tree.
It's not a large tree.
Right.
But it is a tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can grow up to 6 feet, maybe even a little bit bigger than 7 feet. But it is a brush. It is just, you know, it grows under the canopy of, you know, large trees.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We don't have in Ethiopia large commercial farmers that you use mechanized farming
equipment.
You
don't?
No. Huh. It's each and single beans is picked by a human hand.
Wow. When I was in the islands,
that's
there,
something.
I would go see some of the coffee trees that were growing.
Yeah.
And they let you pick some of the beans, and then it was, you know, then you go back, and they had one little, they roasted them out there just by the sun.
It is possible, but you have to use some sort of, you know, power, fire, you know, it can be open pit or, you know, some sort of pan. Traditionally in Ethiopia, we use, you know, just open fire, and we use pans. And we roast it right in front of you. Actually, we don't store roasted coffee in Ethiopia. It needs to be roasted right in front of
really?
You.
So you can see the
like
process.
Like a chestnut.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The entire process, you know, unfolds right in front of you.
Well, the first time that I saw him do a coffee ceremony, that's exactly what they did. They brought these green beans, put it on a fire inside a skillet, and they roasted it in a skillet in our store.
Wow.
And I was like, huh? But then I had it, and it's unbelievable.
Wow. Well, we'll be back with RevoCup. You're not going to want to miss what's next. Hey, welcome back to the Love KC Food Show. Drew and Brian, we're here joined with
RevoCup.
Yeah.
So you can look them up at RevoCup.com. Several locations right now, three locations. They're in Leawood at Leawood, Kansas at 5037 West 117th Street. They're on 87th Street in Lenexa, Kansas, and they're also on 135th. It's
135th and Quivira.
In Overland Park. And you can find all those phone numbers if you need to call them, or you can find out what they have and their more information at RevoCup.com.
Now, when we stopped, you were talking about roasting in front of you.
So the exciting thing, you know, Hopti had mentioned a bit ago about the coffee ceremony. And so when we opened our store, we had a coffee ceremony, and they would roast the beans right in front of us in a skillet. And I thought, okay, is this going to be good or not?
Yeah,
because,
right.
You know, I was thinking this elaborate, wonderful thing. And actually, it gets down to the bare basics. But they did that for us. And it's unbelievable to have something freshly roasted at that moment in time, put into an authentic, and I don't know what the name of the pot is, but a black pot that holds, you pour the grounds in there and get the water boiling, and it makes like espresso on steroids. And
really?
And I just absolutely loved it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to do this every single day.
Is that though over in Ethiopia? Is that the style that most people, locals, like to have their coffee? More of an espresso?
Yes, I will say it is.
Because that's what they did in the islands, right?
Correct.
And then I'd always have to order a little, you know, thing of hot water
for the Americans,
just so that I could water it down a little bit.
Right.
You're talking about steroid, boy.
Yes.
One sip of that,
you're ready to go.
I'm going.
Yeah. That's
right. I was going to roll back.
And we don't consume it in a large quantity either. So it's very much like, you know, 4 ounces, a little cup. That is
not
strong
me.
Enough.
Me neither.
Punchy enough. You know, it doesn't have to be 16 ounces, you know.
Me neither.
Now, you don't even roast like that now for your stores, right?
No, and Opti does the roasting for us at 93rd and Guevara in a warehouse facility. We used to do it in the store itself on College and Guevara.
Right.
The original story had a small roaster, and as he grew and demand started to increase, the master here is the one that continued doing that forward on a much bigger scale. And instead of doing, you know, a few kilos, it turned into hundreds of kilos every single
day. That is a big roaster. I've seen it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's considerable.
Yeah, it's a good size roaster.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's a commercial roaster. And the more we expand in, the more stores we serve, it requires, you know, a larger production. So we have to have a larger roaster.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only the production roast is quite a complex, you know, process. Obviously, you know, it's not one bean or, you know, one particular farm we're dealing with. We have a number of other coffees. Even in the Ethiopian variety alone can be like, you know, 5-6 different type of coffee that we deal with.
Right. And you deal direct?
Yes, we import our own coffee.
Which that's not easy either.
So you're saying that there's different regions within Ethiopia that give different flavors of the beans?
Very true, very true. Each region have its own regional characteristics, and it has its own unique flavor notes. It can be related to the altitude, the type of soil, the microclimates, rains. So what makes Ethiopian coffee so unique is it is the first generation coffee, because we did not really plant it ourselves. We found it in the land, and it has believed to be thousands of different varietals of coffee exist in the country.
We found it in the land. How about that for a sentence?
Now,
that's
there you
cool.
Go. Good
isn't
for
that,
marketing.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, RevoCup. We find it in the land.
Now, like there's a big difference in different regions outside of Ethiopia. I mean, where they make coffee and where they grow coffee beans, right?
But you guys focus on the Ethiopian coffee, yes?
That's what we're known for. I mean, we carry Central American coffees,
okay,
but primarily because of the experience and the knowledge and the connections that we have with the co-ops in
Ethiopia.
You
know the farmers.
And he knows the farmers directly.
Right.
He can make a call, basically, and say, let's make this happen. Let's see how we can get this here. And, you know, typically we have, you know, the ones that we typically carry are going to be like Yerga Chefe, which is kind of like saying, and I'm going to exaggerate a little bit, Colorado. And then you have Harar, that's like saying Kansas. Then you have Sodamo, that's like saying Missouri.
Uh-huh.
So just different regions near each other, because they all have to grow in a certain area anyway.
Right.
But each of those have different flavors. And like Sodamo, as one example, has a blueberry flavor. As it starts to cool, it has this natural blueberry flavor that comes out of it.
Yeah.
And so that's what, you know, when I talk to people about coffee, that's the one thing that I think they're surprised that coffee tastes different. They think Folgers, or they think our big brother around the corner.
Right.
Coffee.
Now, when we were at MAPS, I mean, I've come to your warehouse and picked up coffee. You sell wholesale as well to certain people, and thank you for doing that. And
absolutely.
So I've had your Yerga Chef. We roasted it for ourselves. But, man, so you do that too, right, wholesale coffee?
Yes, we do. We import the coffee for ourselves, and if we have extra bags or, you know, we will sell it. We also help, you know, some larger importers.
Okay.
You know, to connect them with the farmers. If they are seeking a high-quality coffee and in a specific region, because we have the knowledge, the contact, the cultural aspect of it, so we will help them out.
And you guys, again, you care about the people. Mm-hmm. You have this foundation. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so It's probably been 15 years ago that we actually started this. We have Rebel Cup Foundation that then benefits third world country coffee growers. It helps them out. It's kind of like a stool. It helps them out with their educational needs. It helps them out with their financial needs, and it helps them out with we support them through through microloans and things along that sort, or potentially anyway. But the thing that we decided, you can't be all things to all people. So the main thing that we started focusing in on is saying, how can we make a difference in third world countries? And so we started focusing on looking at coffee growers and what some of their needs are. And education is the key to helping people. And so we started, Hopti, I should say, started looking at how can we make a difference in a third world country, in particular Ethiopia, because that's where our connections were. And we started building libraries in Ethiopia. And some of those libraries are going to be little huts. Some of those libraries are going to be huge facilities. We started talking to schools. As we started to grow and take in a portion of everything that we did, we started partnering with organizations that also ship books, so we didn't have to worry about the logistics.
Yeah.
But what we found is that that's the easiest way to make an impact on someone's life almost immediately, educate them so that they know what they can and can't do in the world. And
books are powerful.
They really are.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, and then you can carry it from here, but, you know, we've now opened, and he just told me this morning, and I didn't realize it, 60 libraries in Ethiopia.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I thought it was 28. I was telling everyone 28.
60 libraries.
This is massive.
60 school libraries.
I don't even think we have 60 libraries in Johnson County.
No.
Well, we don't read books anymore, Drew.
Oh, right. Okay.
These are school libraries, and it is regionals, you know, in one region, for instance, in Oromia or Sidama,
right,
coffee-growing regions, they might have, you know, hundreds of schools. So what we are working on is coffee cooperative unions. So they will dedicate a room from their schools, and we'll send them the books. It depends on the size of students and, you know, what kind of a school, whether it is middle school, elementary school, high school. So we will put between 2,000 to 3,000 books in average, you know, per school. So we opened 60 libraries, and even today, this morning in Ethiopia, I can show you the pictures and, you know, the news, we delivered 28,000 books for Abrahoth Library, one of the largest libraries in the capital.
Well done.
Yeah.
Congrats. So that's amazing. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
We are very thankful. We know it from a get-go it is going to happen because the people who comes to our store not only enjoying a good cup, a good cup of coffee,
right,
we want them to know they are making a difference.
I love that.
They are making a difference in an area where people cannot help themselves.
Yeah.
These people are really hard workers.
Yeah.
They are craftsmen in their farming. However, the entire coffee trade and coffee processing method puts them in a very disadvantageous. So we cannot change the trade system right now.
Wow.
Until then, what we can do is by informing the consumer, you know, we can make a difference in their life. And education is a way.
And that's
to open
what,
that door.
And that's what came with our tagline, is that turning spare change into meaningful change. And that's exactly what we're doing right now, is taking that from this local community, making a difference here, but turn around doing it on a global scale as well.
We're talking with Michael and Hopti from Revo Cup. And you can find them on, if you go to RevoCup.com, and you can find all their locations. We'll be back.
Hey, let's jump. Bro, let's jump to a question from one of our listeners.
Yes. We
Everybody
had a text
jump.
Message come in. And
we've got a foodie crew that follows
we
our
do,
show.
We do. And she would like to know, if I just drink a cup of coffee in the morning, maybe two, maybe one during the morning, mid-morning at work, am I really going to notice a difference in the taste of the coffee?
Like for coffee
to
coffee to
coffee.
Do I have
to be a connoisseur of coffee to notice a difference in a different region?
Yes, it's possible. One thing for sure, you know, what kind of coffee are you is it blend? Is it single origin coffee? It came from.
I imagine if it comes in from an office,
it's a blend.
It's a blend. Yeah,
it's more likely a blend. A blend is, you know, altered because of a mix of other
coffee.
So it is really hard to maintain the
like a blended wine or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you are consuming a single origin, like, you know, either Colombia has its own character, Guatemala is different, Costa Rican is unique, so is Ethiopia. So if you manage to consume the single origin for at least, you know, 2-3 days, you will adapt your palate, will inform you what kind of characteristics and after notes.
Okay.
And after this.
There we go. Okay. So single origin seems to be a key,
so
though.
So try it for 3 or 4 days. Then you'll miss the taste when you go back to your blend.
Well, and then also, you know, within single origin, you know, one thing that I did is when I first started drinking coffee a lot, you put a lot of cream and sugar in it.
To kind load it up.
You load it up because you want it to look as white as possible and as sweet as possible to cover up the flavor of the awful coffee that I was getting.
Yes.
And the first thing Opti said is, don't do that. He goes, try it this way first. I guarantee you're going to like it. And then,
but you can't do that with bad coffee, though.
Not with bad coffee.
Right.
But with good coffee.
Right.
He said, let's do it this way. So I tried it, and I was like, oh, I do like this.
Right.
And he goes, well, now this bag is $100, but let's go back and look at this other one. And then he goes, let's try the cheaper one over here. But still, there was a huge difference. And that's what my dad would come in, and he would say, you know, think about the old days of Folgers, Maxwell House, those kind of things. And he would say, give me the closest to that. And I'm like, Dad, let's try something different. And he would try it, and he goes, oh, yeah. Because he thought coffee, like your viewer was saying, or your listener was saying, all tasted the same, or at least a variant of it. And there really is a huge difference. Like I said, who would have thought that drinking a cup of coffee would have a little bit of a blueberry tint to it? Who would have thought that it would taste like a little bit like a banana? When people come into or to the store, they'll say, what should I buy?
Right.
And I'll say, oh, well, do you like earthy flavors? Do you like sweet flavors? Let's start there.
Yeah.
And then we start to dive down into an area, and they'll say, okay, this is what I'm going to try. Do you like citrus flavors? You know, so those are things that we start to look at, and we start to find that and help you hone your own knowledge.
And it's not flavored.
No, it's all natural.
It's just in the bean.
Just
right?
in the yes, bean.
So it's depending on where they grow it. So like he's saying, every different
coffee
region is different.
Coffee gravitated to be either fruit or nuts, if we put it in general terms.
Yeah. To but describe the flavor of coffee.
Exactly.
Is it a nut or a fruit or, yeah.
Yeah. So let's say, you know, In a nut category, it can be many things.
Yeah.
So as in fruit, it can be many things.
Right.
So the single origin is the one really to train your palate. Mm-hmm. So you'll be familiar with the characteristics of those particular coffee origins.
To really go down the rabbit hole, I mean, you can get certified into this, Brian.
Yes.
Right. Like a sommelier.
Yes.
Are you certified?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And as well as, you know, originally when we were trying to develop the certifying process and the entire training process, I had an input into that program.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
I wonder who was the first person to look at those beans
growing off there. Yeah. I think it was Hopti.
I would agree with that.
I'm pretty sure it's Hopti.
Take that down.
It was like right after the Garden of Eden, then Hopti came in and was like, I'll be on the coffee part.
That's right.
I got it. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We're always honored. We have wonderful people in Kansas City, and these are the kind of wonderful people that we love to bring. Thank you to Brewhaha Coffee House, Jason, with that home-style feel of community and hanging out. And thank you, gentlemen, RevoCup, and all that you do and all that you're doing really over the world. Yeah. 60 libraries.
Amazing.
Yes.
Where else can you buy coffee that impacts a world like that?
Right.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yes, thank you guys for coming on. We really appreciate everything you're doing. Next week, Brian, what do we have?
We're going to do lunch next week.
You mean you and... Oh, that's the name of the show.
That's the name of the show, but
let's,
you know, I'm going to get some lunch in here also.
You're just going to bring it in?
Yeah, while just we're doing the show.
Yeah. Have they installed those smell mics yet?
Do you have a place... No, not yet.
Not yet.
Do you have a favorite lunch spot that you like to go?
You know, I don't have a favorite. I'll be honest with you.
I don't have a favorite either.
There's so many good places in Kansas City.
But so far, I've had probably 32 people recommend a space. If you want to go get a lunch
This is my place.
Go here. If you want to go get a really good salad, go here.
Wow.
So
you've gathered a list?
I've got a
list.
Are
you going to share it next week?
Yeah. And we'll go over some of the recommendations, these referrals for their favorite lunch spot in Kansas City.
I love that. And speaking of referrals, check out findandrefer.com for all your local referral needs. Thank you to our sponsors.
Yes, we have Zero Res to thank. And we also have Hook and Reel and
Maps Coffee.
Maps Coffee and several others that you can find. Just go to findandrefer.com.
Findandrefer.com.
If you want to see a recording of this show, or listen to a recording of this show, just go to kcfoodshow.com.
And we're also on podcast, Love KC Food. We'll be back. How many hours, Brian?
167 hours.
Thanks for being with us.